Leviticus 25 verse 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer welcoming you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We hope you'll stay tuned. We have an interesting program for you today, and we're looking forward to getting into that. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located just 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road above the Willow Creek Golf Course. Many people around know where that is. We're just a little ways out of town, and we'd love to invite you to come be with us in any or all of our services. I'm going to go ahead and make an announcement for next week. Starting this Sunday, we will start our revival services, and we're looking forward to that. We'll actually get started, Lord willing, on Sunday morning. I'll be preaching that service Sunday night, the 23rd. Pastor Carl Wilson is going to be with us at 6 o'clock. I'm looking forward to that. Many of you know Preacher Carl, and he's a great blessing to many of us here in the county, and I appreciate him and his stand and his family. They've always been a blessing and an encouragement to us. Then on the Monday night at 7 o'clock, this is the 24th, we're going to have Brother Bruce Robinson. He is from the Asheville area, and I took a missionary trip with him a couple of summers ago to Alaska, and he's a pastor. He's going to be with us on the Monday night, Tuesday night. Brother Kevin Broyhill from the Calvary Baptist Church in King, North Carolina. Many of you might remember the Christian flag controversy in King, North Carolina, and the Calvary Baptist Church played a big part in the support of the Christian flag at the Veterans War Memorial. And Brother Broyhill is going to be with us on Tuesday night, the 25th, and then Evangelist Chuck Stout from the Abingdon, Virginia area. He's going to be with us on the Wednesday night, and he was with us last year in revival, and we really enjoyed Brother Chuck and enjoyed the messages that he brought, and he's going to be with us on the Wednesday night. So we're looking forward to revival coming up, and we'd love for you to come out and be with us Sunday night at 6, and Monday through Wednesday night we'll start at 7. Noah, it's good to see you today. Hope you're getting along good.
Yes, I am. It's good to be here. We want to say welcome to all our listeners, those on AM 1450 WATA right here in Boone, and also those listening in on AM 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we're going to go ahead and get right into the broadcast today, where I left off last week. Now, if you missed the radio broadcast at any time, you can go to our church website. Last week, I began to talk about what the Bible says about homosexuality, and you can go to our website. It is mountlebanonbc.org, and that's mtlebanonbc.org, and we have all the radio messages or broadcasts there under the radio tab. Then we also have sermons and church information and times and things of that nature. But this is what I would say part two. And so I'm just going to try to maybe give a quick review of what we talked about last week. If you have a copy of God's Word, I would encourage you to turn to Genesis chapter number 19 and read along with us today. If you have a Old and New Testament, it's a first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 19. But I'm going to give a quick summary. Last week when I started talking about this, I started off by saying that this coming May in North Carolina will be voting, the citizens of North Carolina will be voting on changing our state constitution to state that marriage is between a man and a woman and only between a man and a woman. And so this is something that's going to be in the local news, in the state news, for the next 6 months or so. And we're going to hear about it over and over and over again. This is something that's not only in the state news, but it's in the news, the national news. More and more we see this subject brought up. Last weekend in Winston-Salem, they had a gay pride parade. The article was on the front page of the Winston-Salem Journal, and it said that throughout the day, some estimated 5,000 people came and went and described it in great detail. That took place on Saturday and Sunday this past weekend. Yesterday, on FoxNews.com, this was October 17th, there was a news story came out, and the title at the head of it was called Gender Bender, and it had a picture of a little boy on there sitting at the piano, and underneath that picture, or with that picture, it said this, controversial therapy for preteen transgender patient raises questions. And I'm just going to share the first couple of sentences with you. It said, a lesbian couple in California, who say their 11-year-old son, Tommy, who wants to be a girl named Tammy, are giving their child hormone blockers that delay the onset of puberty so that he can have more time to decide if he wants to change his gender. The couple's supporters say the hormone-blocking therapy has only minor side effects and is appropriate for a child who is unsure of his gender. This is definitely a changing landscape for transgender youth, said Joel Baum, Director of Educational and Training for Gender Spectrum, a California-based nonprofit group. This is about giving kids and their families the opportunity to make the right decision. And one more sentence down in the article says, Tommy's parents, Marino and Lobel, now this is two ladies, he has two moms, said at the beginning, a lesbian couple, but Tommy's parents say they support their child and feel this is the best way for him to find an answer to a question he's been asking all his life. They say Tommy, whom they now call Tammy, began taking GnRH inhibitors over the summer so that he will remain a prepubescent boy until he turns 14 or 15. They say they want to give him more time to explore the female gender identity that he associates with. And it goes on and it talks about that when he was about 3, he started telling his mommies that he was a girl, and they said, no, you're a boy. Well, the only thing he has around him is two mamas, so I could see where he might be confused on the matter. But I'll tell you, if we don't address what is going on in our society with a open mind, believe it or not, I'm saying that, but I'll tell you, there's some that are very close-minded to questioning anything about the homosexual lifestyle. But if we're going to change what has historically throughout the history of humanity been one man and one woman in marriage, then we're going to have to ask all the questions, even the hard questions. Are we going to come to a day and time in America where we look at little boys and little girls and ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? Do you want to be a boy or do you want to be a girl? That's what they're doing to Tommy or Tammy or whatever you want to call him today. And that was just in the news yesterday. Today, I found a website called the Christian Post. I haven't been very familiar with this in the past, or I didn't know about it in the past, but I had a friend that suggested that I look at it, and you can find it at www.christianpost.com. And on today's headlines, there's an article that says, Teachers' Facebook Remarks Spark Gay Rights Protest. And a teacher described on her Facebook page, and what the background story to that is that the school that she teaches in New Jersey is celebrating lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender Pride Month. And so the teacher on her Facebook page had made a remark that homosexuality was a sin. And there's a group in New Jersey called Garden State Equality, and they are going to protest the school board, and they want to have her fired because she said on her Facebook page that homosexuality was a sin. And she says, and this is just a few quick quotes from the article, but that she hates no one. She bars no one from coming into her home or anything like that. And she's concerned, of course, for her First Amendment rights. This was in the news this morning. I found another article. This was from yesterday, October the 17th. Mars Hill Church, Portland, faces protest over stance on homosexuality. And there's a church out there in Portland, Oregon, that has came out and said, you know, they teach against homosexuality. And there were protesters gathered this past weekend at the church. And here's another headline. The Presbyterian Church USA recently ordained its first gay minister. And on we could go. There are many, many examples. But I just say all that to say this, that this is not a subject that is going to ever go away. It'll never go away as long as we live. We're going to have to deal with this one way or another. Now, what got me started last week is I said that both sides use the Bible, and they say this. They say, well, the Bible says. Now, both sides will use the Bible. For example, I used to work at Appalachian State University years ago, the early 90s. And when I was there, they had a big promotion of diversity and invited in different speakers to promote the homosexual lifestyle and start, you know, integrating and diversity and inclusion and all of these things. And I picked up an article in a paper that I found there on the college campus. And in that article, it went through and this speaker had come to the campus. And I think I've got this somewhere at the house, but I couldn't find it this morning. But anyway, they made the case from the Bible for homosexuality. And they said in that article that, well, in the Bible, David and Jonathan were homosexual lovers. And they said that Ruth was a lesbian. And they even say that the Lord Jesus Christ was a homosexual as well. And so the homosexuals, they used the Bible. Christians, they use the Bible. And I said last week, I would like for somebody to come out and tell us, instead of just saying the Bible says, we need to go to the Bible and actually say what the Bible says. It is not good enough to just say the Bible says. You know, I would really be surprised if one out of every 10 church-going persons could even tell you where in the Bible you find the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, or where the Bible talks about that there are those that have been turned over to a reprobate mind. Most people, honestly, even in church, don't really know what their Bible says. And as I've said, it's not good enough to just say the Bible says. So we're going to look today in the time remaining and Genesis chapter number 19. Now, I read just a few verses last week. I started in Genesis chapter 13, in verse number 13, where the Bible mentions the men of Sodom for the first time. And it says over there, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, we're going to look over in chapter 19 and see why they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And Genesis chapter number 19 is where we find the story in the Bible of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I read verses 1 through 3 last week. I talked about Lot, that he was a what we would refer to in New Testament times as a carnal believer. He was a worldly believer, but I do believe he was a believer down in his soul, down in his heart. I believe he knew what was right, and I'll show you in the New Testament why I say that. But let me read in verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Now Lot knew they would not be safe on the streets of Sodom. So the Bible says in verse 3, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So Lot invites them into his house. Now, I said that Lot was actually, now we don't learn this in the Old Testament, we learn this in the New Testament, Lot actually was a righteous person. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 6 through 8, it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, and it talks about Lot. And I want to read those verses to you in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 6. Here's what the Bible says in the New Testament about Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's talking here about the judgment of God upon ungodliness. And it says in verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Now, if you look in your archaeological supplements in the back of your Bible, or go to Nelson's or some other authority upon archaeology and Bible lands, and what you'll find is the general sentiment that the evidence for Sodom and Gomorrah, if there's any left. Now, if something is turned into ashes, there's not going to be a lot of evidence left, but there is an area that is known as Sodom and Gomorrah even today, but there's not many artifacts left over. So God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So the Word of God says that God did this to make an example out of them that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, and there's where I say that Lot was a righteous person, that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So what he saw and what he heard, it vexed his soul. It bothered him. Now, he didn't say anything until he had no other choice whatsoever. And here in Genesis chapter 19, we see what he says. Verses 4 and 5 says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now, Sodom, if you study about it in the Bible, was a very, what we might refer to, or you might hear people refer to as a modern city, an open society, a nightclub atmosphere. There were no laws restricting who loved who or how they had relations one with another or anything like that. And I'm sure that some would say, well, these men just wanted to have a little fun. But when you read that they wanted these men to come out that they may know them, we'll read on down, it was in a sexual manner that they wanted to know these men. Now, verses 6 through 9 says, and Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And I'll stop right there and say this. In the Oriental culture, it was a great disgrace to have somebody come into your house and then for them to be attacked. If you invited somebody into your house, what you were doing, you were inviting them into the protection of your house. So in that culture, it was acceptable for him to offer his daughters. Now to us, that's unacceptable. I can't imagine that. But you have to realize the culture that they were in. And he said, you can't have these men, but you can, I'll offer my daughters unto you, and you can take them and do what you want with them. Now listen what they said in verse number 9. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. And I want to point out that they said in verse number 9, basically, here's what they're saying. They said, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. They said, how dare him? How dare him come in to live among us? And he is going to judge us. You know, the diversity and the inclusion down in Sodom evidently did not include Lot and his views when they opposed the lifestyle that they are living. And that's how the diversity and inclusion movement today is. They will include and they want to be diverse with everybody except those who will say that homosexuality is a sin. And they said, how dare you judge us? It's the same mentality today. And so these men wanted Lot's visitors to come out, and they were going to jump upon them as a gang. They were going to take them and know them in a reprobate way, a wicked way, a violent way. And you may say, oh, that's unheard of. That doesn't happen. Yes, it does. There is many things that happen in our society that aren't even reported in the news. I'll share this quickly before I go on. Years ago, I was visiting. We had a prison ministry, and we were in the general population one day, and we'd been in there several times before. I knew some men that were in prison that I could go up and talk to, just like I would go up and talk to a friend that I have out here in town. And I was standing there talking with one of the men that I knew there in the prison. And there was a young man. He probably wasn't 19 or 20 years old. He was over in the corner, and he was sitting. He was what I'd call sitting like a catcher, you know, a baseball hind catcher. And he was stooped down there, and he was leaned up against the wall. And the poor fella, he just looked pitiful. His countenance was so sad, young man, and I could just tell something was wrong with him. And I asked my friend there, I said, what's wrong with him? I could tell something was wrong. He said, well, he just got back out of the infirmary. He said he's been down there about a month. He said some homosexuals cornered him in his cell and gang raped him. And they took a broom and sodomized him and almost tore his guts out. And the poor fellow, I mean, if you looked at him, maybe you've seen people that have been just terribly abused, and just to look in their eyes, it's like their soul is gone out of their body. Now, let me tell you, this stuff still goes on today. If we're going to have this open society, we need to look at what all goes along with this. This church that I mentioned in Portland, Oregon, over the weekend that was protested at by a group of homosexuals, the article said that the protesters hid their faces with kerchiefs. You know, they tied bandanas around their face so you couldn't see who they were, and they yelled profanity and curse words at the adults and the children as they went in and out of the church. There is an element of wickedness in this today, whether anybody else wants to acknowledge it or recognize it or not. So the mentality is still there. And they said, how dare him come in and judge? We'll do worse with you than we did with them. And so then we look on down, verses 10 and 11. The Bible said, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And so these men saved Lot. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And so there was a divine intervention on the behalf of Lot. And I say that's the only thing that'll save our society today, is a divine intervention from the Lord. And what we really need in America is a revival of repentant hearts of God's people and turning back to Him. But anyway, we read on down, and I've got to hurriedly go along. I'm going to skip down to verse number 13. they ask Lot to gather all of his family together. Does he have any other family? And they tell Lot what they're going to do. In verse number 13, they say, "For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." They said, "God, this town, the wickedness in this town has come directly to the attention of the Lord God, and he sent us to destroy it." That's what they're saying in verse number 13. And if we go back to chapter 18, we'll see what the Lord told Abraham about going down to Sodom. It said in chapter 18, verse 20, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." That word "cry" there, it means a shriek or an outcry. It is the cry of a victim. It is the cry of somebody that is abused physically or sexually. It is the cry of a child. It's a cry that the Lord hears. And by the way, this is the first time that the word "cry" is mentioned in the Bible. And so God heard the cry of Sodom. He heard the cry of the victim. And then in verse 21, he said, "I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know it." And so this is why the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, because of the wickedness of the society in which Lot lived. He didn't go down there and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of what Lot was doing. Lot certainly contributed by saying nothing and being silent, even though he sat in the gate, which means he was involved in the leadership of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he said nothing. But God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness of the cities in which Lot lived. Now I'll go on down and read finally verses 27 through 29. The Bible said, "And Abraham got up early in the morning." Now this is the next day after God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, or the morning of. "Got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt." And so Abraham got up and he looked out and he seen the smoke of the cities going up as a furnace. And Abraham witnessed the first nuclear holocaust. He witnessed the first bombing raid from the heavens and the effects upon it. And of course, Lot seen it and knew what had happened as well. So I encourage you, read what the Bible says. Refer to what the Bible says and be true and faithful to what the Bible says. If we're going to say and use the Bible to promote or to show people why we believe what we believe, we need to know what it says. And somebody says, "Well, that's the Old Testament and we're not under the law anymore." And you know what I'll say about that? This in Genesis was before the law. This was before the Ten Commandments. Now, I'll go a little bit further in this in the weeks ahead, Lord willing. That's my intentions and my plans. But we need to look at this and really get a good look at what the Bible says. So this will be a continuing thought for a few weeks. I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, if marriage is changed by the courts of this land to anything other than what it is right now, marriage between a man and a woman, then it must be changed to include everything. And that's what I'll get into and show some things next week. It'll have to include everybody and everything. Thank you for listening. Noah's going to give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. or you can reach us through our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.